Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 260 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I'm super excited to bring you my interview with Aaron Haley from Post Oak Customs out of Texas. If you follow anybody in the barbecue world, eventually in your feed, you will see one of his products, his cutting boards or his slicer or tumbler or a logo or something that they've done. So I wanted to chat with him. I also am working on these lists, and I have a list of cutting boards that Barbecue Joints use, and a lot of people mentioned Post Oak Customs. And also Brett from Brett's Backyard Barbecue in Rockdale, Texas said everyone in Central Texas uses Aaron at Post Oak Customs. So I had to talk to him, find out. I want to interview people in all the different facets of the barbecue world, and Aaron's a big part of it, and it's a great story. I don't want to get too into it, but we talk about everything that they do, all the different ways that you can get a hold of them. If you're watching on YouTube, at the beginning, there's a montage of a bunch of different items that they've done, and they are killer. They're amazing. So reach out to them, postoakcustoms.com. Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Centex Smokers. They're out of Luling, Texas. The best way to get a hold of them is on Instagram at Centex_smokers. That's Centex_smokers. That way you could see everything that they do. Give Michael a follow. Also give him a DM, get a quote. He's about 4 to 5 months right now, which is unheard of for the quality and what he can do for you. And it's not just offsets. He can do everything. He's been welding since he was a child. So he really, really knows what he's doing. Again, that's Centex Smokers out of Luling, Texas. And we're also brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. That's treatyoakdistilling.com, or they have a physical location in Dripping Springs, Texas. Great people, great stuff, Treaty Oak Distilling. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. I guess you're supposed to ask people to subscribe, but if you're liking these, subscribe and hit the bell notification, because I do a lot of these and I want to make sure that they stay in your feed, and that way you get a chance to see them. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. Links to all my podcasts, YouTube stuff, tons of lists, a bunch of crazy stuff, all within the barbecue world. But in the end, stay safe. Thank you for listening to these. Have a great week. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a weird time, but it's a good time and a weird time. But I'm really excited to speak with you because I've seen your name all over the place. I've seen your company, Post Oak Customs, and so I wanted to chat and give people a chance to learn a little bit more about what you do and what you're all about. Have you always lived in Texas?
I've lived in Texas since I was a kid. My dad is a Texan, and we moved around when I was younger because he was in the Forest Service, but we moved back when I was younger, and so I've lived kind of in the Central Texas area ever since.
Is it interesting that that your dad worked for the Forest Service and you now work with wood? Is there a connection there or a reason?
I probably haven't thought of that, but yeah, my dad actually has been a woodworker his whole life and actually built houses until he retired, and so I just have always been kind of handy, and it's working with your hands no matter what it is, whether it's barbecue or wood or gardening or whatever else. It's just always kind of a good feeling.
Oh, it's incredibly satisfying, and I've appreciated craftsmanship more and more as I've gotten older and realized that how special that is. And when I've watched, I spend plenty of time watching YouTube videos on woodworkers and forgers, and it's just such an interesting, it's an interesting craft, and I think it's dying out because a lot of people have automation, and I'm sure you have things that are automated in your shop too. Well, then, what was your path then? What city did you grow up in?
I grew up out in Marble Falls, out in the actual sort of hill country area.
Okay.
And so out on the lakes, and moved to Austin after I graduated. Wanted to kind of, quote, get to the big city and get out of that small town. And the same as you sort of realize as you get older about craftsmanship, you realize the same thing about small towns and kind of where you came from. But mm-hmm. At the time, I was ready to kind of move on to somewhere else.
Isn't that funny how everyone wants to get out of their small town? And not everyone does, but a lot of people end up coming back to their small town or a small town similar to their small town.
Yeah, it definitely happens. Kind of the older you get, you see more of your friends kind of heading back to those areas that they came from.
What was your path? Was your path woodworking from the beginning?
No, not at all. I'm really a tech guy. I worked in tech, was involved in tech, and about 10 years ago, I got really excited about the maker craft movement and got involved in that, and actually ran an event for South by Southwest called South by Southwest Create.
Oh.
And so it was a hands-on sort of maker tech event that kind of merged those things together, merged my interest in tech with my interest in making.
That's killer.
And yeah, it was a lot of fun and a real blast. One of the things that came out of that was that I ended up buying a CNC laser.
Just happened to buy a CNC laser.
You know, it was really cool, and I kept telling my wife that I wanted to buy one, and she kept telling me I was crazy. One day, I just decided to put a business plan together and showed her, you know, that it was sort of a good idea. Started doing that on the side, and it was fun. It was interesting.
Can I go back a second? For the people that might not know what that is, can you explain what that is?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So type of printer, essentially, that allows you to etch things onto certain different material. And so it's primarily used in industrial and other types of things like that to make different products. I mean, it's ridiculous, the number of things. The guy that did my initial training from the company we bought it from said, kind of once you see what this does, he said, you can't not notice it everywhere you go. And it's true.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, we did a Skype birthday call last night, and you know, the cake topper that was on my friend's cake had been purchased from Etsy and was a laser cut, you know, little thing. So there's a lot of different things you can do with it, and that's kind of really how that got started. It's a little bit different about kind of how I got into the post-oak barbecue world started.
So were you doing that for friends or for projects, like were people giving you the little things to do? Is that, or what your business plan? What was your business plan? Would you call it a CNC router? Is that something to
it's it? A CNC laser. Okay. Yeah. So we, it just, the business plan was essentially just to, you know, take on as much work as was needed to essentially pay for the expenditures. It's a pretty healthy investment depending on what you purchase. And so that was the Faustian bargain with my wife, was that I would attempt to pay for itself and not have it cost us any money. And so I did that out of my garage for a few years until we kind of pivoted and changed direction. But yeah, that was the original plan.
Were people coming to you, or how did they find you? Did you just have a Facebook page, or what, it was 10 years ago?
We had a website and availability for folks to contact us, but a lot of it was just, you know, friends and acquaintances through other projects that I was working on. And, you know, we definitely found plenty of business to kind of keep us busy and pay for the kind of make that business plan happen.
And then how did you jump into the barbecue world, the woodworking world? Were you doing other woodworking too on the side?
Yeah, I definitely do different projects and work on different things. And I, you know, in the meantime, I have always been, I came from a service industry background when I was younger and thought, you know, that's what I wanted to do back then before I realized how much work was involved in that. And that's where when I pivoted into the tech world. And so I was involved in the barbecue community already, both as a fan and as a backyard cook, and as involved in different competitions and events. And I handle a lot of the sort of cooking detail and whatnot for a few different folks that I do some work with. And so when I was sort of having a moment, it's been about 5 years ago now, I was sort of having a moment about not really sure what I wanted to do with that laser anymore. I had stopped running this event for South by Southwest, and I just didn't have that sort of same passion anymore. And it was actually a really good friend of mine who's also been on the podcast, Jess Pryles, convinced me to marry those two different things that I really had passions about.
Oh, that's it. Oh, that's the I didn't
creativity,
okay. Wow.
And then the CNC world with barbecue. And so that's kind of where Post Oak was born.
Wow. She's been very supportive of a lot of people and vice versa. And wow, I didn't know that was the connection. I'm glad I didn't know, because that's cool. That's a cool little thing. So then did she connect you with different people, or was it just You should do this, and then it just started to grow.
That's a really great question. I thought about that before I came
well,
on.
That's okay. Well, I should have thought. I should have sent you a list of questions if I was a professional at this.
Sure. I think I'm sure we probably made something for her. I was making stuff for myself already, and for a few other folks. So it's not like I wasn't involved, and so I kind of was already involved in the barbecue community. You know what? So what really happened first was we made a bunch of keepsakes. I can't remember even what they all were. Leather keychains and maybe some Yeti cups. And I'm not sure what else for one of the very first carnivores balls, okay. The first here in the States. And so I met her doing that event when she was still coming back and forth. And at some point I just said, I think I want to get out of this crazy laser thing. It's really taking time away from other things that I want to do. It's taking time away from barbecue events and other things like that. And she said, well, do you really want to, you know, stop? And I said, well, not really, but I just, you know, I want to do something different. She said, well, you know, stop. She just told me to stop and think about what I really enjoyed doing. And that's kind of how that came together.
Kind of like her, kind of how she just realized, like, not just realize, but she realized what was most important to her, what was she was most passionate about, and she's, you know, went head first into it, and look where she is now.
Sure, yeah. Before we started the actual podcast, you and I were talking about taking some time to kind of reflect and yeah. think things through and sort of get a better handle on those things sort of mentally, and she's really good at you know, kind of, I think everybody in the barbecue community is a good inspiration for chasing after your passion, doing something that you love. And so it was just a good reminder to kind of stop and think about those things and what I liked and what I loved doing and figure out how to put those two things together.
And that's why this is so great, because, and I've said probably that, I don't know, hundreds of times on this podcast, is that most of the people that are involved in the barbecue world or in the food world weren't third generation. Like, they're not the kind of people that, like, there's a group of people, a small group that have, you know, it's family, but a lot of people have pivoted from something or changed or just somehow had the gumption to actually follow their passion, and look where it puts it. And we would not be talking if it wasn't for that shift that you had. And were you making cutting boards at the beginning, or were you doing more keepsake things that you referred to?
We were doing a lot of sort of more industrial and tech type jobs, you know, laser etching, crazy computer boxes and expensive laptops. We used to work with Dell quite a bit because they're here in town. And so, you know, they would That's have true. Us laser etch $25,000 gold and leather laptop for, you know, the Prince of Dubai or something like that.
When you were deciding to make the jump into barbecue, did you have to do something where you were doing stuff out of your garage, or were you doing it, did you rent a shop, and did you buy a bunch more equipment? And I want to get to the point, because right now you do stuff, you have a shop, right?
Yeah, so we actually got lucky enough to buy some land near Austin that has space for a shop. And so it was kind of a good timing and a good pivot. Part of why we decided to move here was really because of that. And so so it's a mix. So we've got a design studio and space for the laser, but then I've also got a wood shop as well. So it's a full, we really kind of provide a full on CNC fabrication for a lot of different things besides just the boards kind of in the barbecue space.
Yeah, because I've noticed that you do stuff with knives. Let's why don't we talk about what you offer, and then we can kind of weave in the different things that you've done for specific people.
We actually offer, we offer just about anything. So if we have a customer that comes to us and says, you know, can you do this? We work with them and try to make it for them. So we essentially offer a full range of different custom items, including cutting boards, slicers, logo, art, wall, you know, wall mounted logos and artwork. And we do a lot of work lately with whiskey barrels. So we do whiskey barrel tops for the walls and bottle openers and all sorts of just, you know, do just about anything in sort of that wood and metal space, holders for folks, catering equipment and all sorts of different things like that. Just really anything to help promote their business. So we really focus on, we work with a lot of breweries here in town, which there are a lot of, and then we work with barbecue folks, really all over the United States now.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of people have mentioned you from other places outside of Texas. Now, Whiskey Barrel, so you're, and it's, you're etching on those, right? And can you, is there a certain depth that you can etch? Like, cause it looks like on the Wanderlust one, it looks like it has depth, but, or is that just the shading is, or...
Yeah. So that's the great thing about the equipment that we use. So, you know, and it's a lot of the fun as well, is that depending on what you're making, it can either be super high tech or it can be super, you know, handmade, and, or in some cases it's both. So it's handmade. And then, we put it on our CNC systems and actually put the logo into the metal or onto the wood. And in the terms of the wood, yeah, there's depth. So okay. There's, you know, what we're doing, it can be, you know, a really light sort of etch on the logo, or sometimes we'll do it really deep and fill it with resin or epoxy and that sort of thing. So it just kind of depends on what our end goal is. But our goal is just always to create something for, you know, the person that owns that business to help highlight and show off their business. That's really kind of why we started making stuff for ourselves and our friends to begin with.
Gotcha.
Was to just help them kind of show off the things they were working on.
People might not know that I have like these lists. I've created these crazy lists of like what knives people use, what sharpening tools, and then cutting boards. And that's kind of what led to our discussion. And do you make cutting boards for people that don't have logos on them too? Or is it just more, or is it more in that space where it's a promotional item?
So we started out doing stuff just for folks that were already in the barbecue world. And I was shocked. I was shocked at how many people that have barbecue teams. You know, I'd been to barbecue competitions and, you know, competed and hung out as well. And, you know, it's just it's such a super serious business. And so we started having folks contact us, you know, from teams saying, can you do stuff for us? And we'd say, oh, no, you know, you have to have a logo. And they'd say, oh, no, we have a logo. And so we would get some more serious PR packages from folks that had barbecue teams than you know, professional pitmasters.
Wow.
So we really started doing it for just about anybody. And so we tried to, we definitely primarily work with folks in the industry, but we work with enthusiasts and backyard folks and people that just want fun stuff as well.
If I wanted to order just a cutting board without even a logo, sure, on it, is that something people can do?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the cutting boards we work with now, we do make custom cutting boards. A lot of the cutting boards we sell now are actually prefabricated cutting boards, because in the barbecue industry, you know, usually, unless you're talking about one of those amazing you know, butcher blocks that are out there that have been used forever, you know, like, yeah, the one Taylor or Lockhart or wherever, where, you know, you can just see it's concave up.
Which is amazing.
But, you know, for the most part, it's just sort of from a health and safety or whatever perspective these days, you know, folks kind of tend to use some equipment until, you know, it's got some wear and then kind of move on. So we were building our own cutting boards for the longest time, and folks were, you know, just sort of beating the ever living you know what out of them. And so we started offering some other cutting boards as well that are a little more industry focused. And so that's a lot of what we do, is just putting logos for folks onto those cutting boards. Gotcha. But then we do a lot of custom cutting boards for folks that want those as well. The full glue up build type cutting boards.
Gotcha. So you can get them, essentially either you can custom build them something or get them any type of cutting board that they need. You can get a blank, whatever style they want, and then put their logo, put a design, whatever that they want.
Yeah, we offer, you know, all that on our website for folks that are not barbecue people. We definitely get a lot of those orders around Christmas for folks wanting to buy fun stuff for their barbecued loved ones. And so we definitely do that for anybody that just likes to cook in the backyard, to somebody, you know, on the top 50 that wants to show off their cool stuff at TX Monthly or whatever.
Well, let's just talk about some people that you've done work for, so people can. And I'll put a list. I'm going to put a little montage at the beginning of this interview with images, sure, of all the different, because there's some really, really cool stuff that you've done.
Who doesn't love a montage?
Who doesn't? Yeah, exactly. It's not a fight montage. I wish it was like a fight montage.
we've worked with a lot of folks. I was just looking through my Instagram and I've forgotten some of those. We worked with, I would say, a big chunk of the top 50 folks for sure.
And let's just say I talked to one of, when I did my lit, was working on my crazy list, I had talked to Brett at Brett's Backyard Barbecue in Rockdale, and he mentioned you. He has one of your boards, and he said everyone in Central Texas uses you. And of course, everyone's a large, is all encompassing word, but. So Brett, you have one. Brett's for sure.
Yeah, it's just, it's a word of mouth thing. And, you know, cooking at barbecue events and competitions and stuff, you run into a ton of folks. And that's really our main goal is, we like cooking barbecue. We like being involved in the barbecue family. And it just kind of happens that, you know, we also, you know, make customized equipment for folks to use while they're doing that. And that's really sort of the secondary, you know, the business is almost sort of the secondary process or secondary part of that.
Kind of like what I'm doing, essentially, because I'm doing this because I like the people and I love the food, and the food is amazing, but also it's the people and the camaraderie and kinship. And that's, and also, I like to, I want to meet people before I actually go come to visit them or come to visit Texas. So it's kind of nice to do this. So I get that completely. Well, so Posto Custom, is it Posto Customs?
Customs.
And PostoCustoms.com. What's all the different ways to contact you, to see all your stuff?
Folks can check out the website at postoatcustoms.com. We're Posto Customs on all the socials. So Instagram's got a great selection of all the photos from some of the different things. I'm not always very good about taking photos, but I try sometimes, but we rely on the kindness of folks that work with our products and buy the stuff from us to kind of show off the different things that they've been using from us. And so, you know, that's a lot of the fun for us is just to see people using that to show off what they're cooking. So
pop up in the wild without you knowing it. That's kind of a,
seeing them show up. Yeah, I guess Perez, like the top of my feed is Perez Barbecue, and I guess he cooks some ribs on the is gonna cook some ribs. I don't know. I guess they've got ribs on Sunday as a special, so they're showing them off. And that, you know, that's a real purpose. Not that people can't use it for whatever the heck they want to use it for, but you know, when you go to barbecue events or when you see barbecue photos, it looks amazing, right? Like we see that and we want to eat that brisket or mm-hmm. we want those ribs, but. You know, you don't know where they're at, or you're flipping through on that social media feed, like, so you kind of stop in reverse and yes. See, you know, what is that somebody's cooking, or who is that? And, you know, you see the cutting board or the logo or the knife or whatever, and it just kind of helps. It kind of helps show people, you know, who that belongs mm-hmm. to, who was the artisan that created, that spent, 12 hours, 16 hours, manning the pit to make that. So,
exactly.
You know, that way, you know, whose it is and where it came from. And it's not just sort of, a brisket sitting on a cutting board.
And if people see a slicer, is it a Dexter slicer that you guys are mostly etching?
Yeah.
So if people see with people's logos, it's generally from you guys, right?
Yeah. I think there's a few other folks maybe that are doing it now, which is fine. Yeah. We're definitely not the first person to you know, use a laser etcher to put anything on metal by far. But I don't know if we were the first out there doing it or not, but.
Let's say you are.
Let's say we are. We'll pretend. But yeah, I don't know who we did the first. I think somebody just asked for a slicer at some point, and so Most of ours are 10-inch Dexter serrated, and I'm not normally like a big name dropper. It has nothing to do with them anyway. It's just
no, I know, but it is like I went in doing my study on knives. Like I interviewed like 170 different places, and Dexter came up the most. Like Victor Inox or whatever that was a big one too. But
it's an affordable knife that's really easy. No, I was going to laugh and say that I don't know that anybody was really. It would be an interesting conversation as well. I don't know if anybody was using the serrateds as much before Aaron Franklin started. And then once he started telling people he was, everybody switched from the scalloped to the serrated. And so that's what we started selling. I know a lot of folks like to use the 12-inch scallop, but you know, if you don't know what you're doing, or you just kind of want always get that perfect slice, that serrated just kind of does the job.
I have that at my house. I'm not slicing as many briskets, and I use it for other stuff too. It's great.
It's great. It's great for anything. I like to reach for mine for, you know, watermelon or something and take a picture. And I'm like, oh, look, pull this off the smoker.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's funny too. And Aaron, when I wrote them about what he uses, they sent me a link to his website. He sells his own knives on his. They're all Dexter knives, but they're. I forget if they have his logo on it or something. But
it's a way to go. Sell your own. So Leroy and Lewis is selling the ones they use now with their logo. So everybody wants to take a little bit of Central Texas home with them. So it's a way to do it.
Do you do their knives?
We do. Yeah, we used to do the ones they use in the truck, and then they started selling. It's been part of their pivot to, you know, kind of bolster up their store. And that's one of the things they've started selling.
And you guys etch them? That's yours? That's your.
We do. Yeah. Okay.
I didn't know. I put on my I did a Christmas list. I'd never better done a gift guide. And I put their scraper.
Dexter, theirs are actually 12-inch serrated. So yeah, we do a lot of wholesale for different folks that, you know, people see those a lot and want to buy it, you know, at the store. And that way, you know, when somebody asks that question, you can just point over and say, yeah, it's right there. Feel free to snag one.
Ah, that's cool. That's very cool. So then what's your lead time on things?
It depends. You know, if people want one off, it's usually pretty quick. We because I'm so great at promotion right now, the store is essentially shut down still, but post Christmas.
So
but,
smart.
Yeah, we'll turn it. We turned it off on the, I think the 18th of December, just because even when we tell people this isn't going to get to you by Christmas, people buy it. And I worry too much about how people feel, and, you know, thinking that somebody's not going to get their knife for Christmas makes me feel bad. So we turned the website off.
Well, that's smart. This year, nothing was moving in the mail system. Anyways, I was tracking things and it was like sitting for 2 weeks, and I can't complain. There's worse things in the world.
Customer service this year was rough. It was, you know, you definitely felt bad for a lot of folks, but that's why we cut it off so early. And so we kind of do the Christmas break thing and take a little time to recoup and get restarted. But yeah, folks can go onto the website and we've got some knives that we make out there that have stuff already on them that people can just buy. And it started out as a joke with Matt Pittman, and then it just, people wanted to buy him. So every time he posts our goofy little knife that says vegetarian, we get a whole bunch of people who would email us. So
of course
I finally get in. Yeah. I'm not big on like the puns and whatnot, but that's not a pun, I guess, but
is it irony? Is it irony? Maybe.
Yeah, I guess it's irony. Yeah.
It's at least Alanis Morissette irony.
Yeah, slicing your brisket on your wedding day.
Exactly.
But yeah, folks can buy stuff on there. They can buy something custom, and we can help them with that too. So yeah, lead time's usually anywhere from a week to 10 days to it can be longer than that.
If they want to get a cutting board from you with their logo on it, probably, can they get it within 30 days?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a few weeks usually. They're beasts. The ones, the brisket boards we usually sell are about 25 pounds. And so they're, and we make bigger ones. We make some larger ones for Brett you know, some of those are 30 by 24, something like that. And we usually don't ship those. They're monsters, but anybody that's kind of close, we can definitely do some special stuff with. But we sell our regular standard sizes online that folks can get their logo in them or their name in them or get them plain, whatever they want.
Sure, that 30 by 24 or whatever that size shipping to Australia, the mail guys or the UPS or whomever, DHL guys would hate you so much.
It's so I've definitely had some large pickups from USPS before, and the mail person just kind of gives you the side eye, and you're like, sorry.
Delivery. But I've had weird things delivered to my place too that I'm like, I can't believe this was actually shipped. Like, I've had some stuff like, you know, yeah, like things that like you have to build, maybe like, I don't know, Wayfair or IKEA, whatever it was. And I thought, oh my God, there's no way. This has been dropped so many times. There's no way that, because they probably push it out of the truck, it lands on the ground, and then they drag it somehow. But anyways, well, was there anything else that people need to know, not like essential, but want to know about what you do or what you offer? Because I want to make sure that it covers everything, because there's a lot of cool stuff. And I'll put links, and I'm going to put a companion blog post to this, but is there anything else? Is there any special things or things that are on the horizon that you're like some cool new things that you're working on?
You know, we're gonna roll out some more of our barrel tops this year. You know, a lot of folks want a way to display, you know, display their logo and show off who they are, and you know, make sure folks know kind of where they're eating and you know what they're about, and so that's kind of been something new that we worked on the last year. We did a special release version last year with Austin Beer Works and Interstellar.
Okay.
At a beer event that they did together here in town out at Interstellar. And so, you know, a lot of times it's not the making of things, it's the logistics of how to get them to people that is the harder aspect of that. So if folks are looking to kind of show off their barbecue, whether it be in the backyard or the restaurant or at food events or whatever, that's kind of what we're here to help with. And if folks are looking for something, you know, beyond that they want to do, that's where we definitely get a lot of our best ideas, or collaborating with owners and pit masters to, you know, make something interesting. So pretty similar to doing a collaboration.
If you have a creative or clever idea, come to you and shoot it by you and see what happens. And chances are you guys can come up with something rad and something really cool.
Yeah. Just like doing, you know, a dinner collaboration. It's sort of the same thing, getting together to talk about what they need and hear what their wants and needs are, and then figuring out how to help them make something cool.
You could do just about anything. Is that Yeti cup that you have? Is that, did you, or the drink that you've been drinking? What is it, a Yeti or the, it's a,
oh, it's a, yeah, this one's a Yeti. I've got a bunch of different stuff.
Can you etch on those guys?
We can. We did a lot of those for a long time before Yeti got into the game themselves. And so it's, you know, I'm a horrible business person. I like to do what I like to do. And for folks that are, you know, experts, in a subject matter, it's just better a lot of times to have them do that. Yeah. So we definitely do some one-offs, with Yeti cups occasionally for people that need a small order or a special project, but Yeti actually offers that now at such a reasonable rate, it just, you know, it makes sense to shoot folks their way. But yeah, it's definitely something that we do. This one has our logo on it.
Yeah. Is it hard to do a rounded or curved surface?
No, it's really easy with the right equipment. You just kind of throw that on there. And so that was a big deal for a long time before everybody had 10 of those in their cabinet.
Yeah.
And so everybody still wants to give them out with custom stuff on them, but oh, that one's blank. I'm horrible.
You're totally unprepared for this. I can't believe you. Like, I'm wearing a suit and tie to this. This is very professional. well, thank you, Aaron, for taking the time. I really, you're such a great guy. And it's also, too, one of the reasons why I do this is it puts a face to a product or to a company or to a restaurant or whatever. And so now people, if they're out, you know, out in the wild someday when people aren't wearing masks out in public, they'll recognize you. And I probably should do these with people with masks on right now, so that way people can kind of at least see, like, oh, okay, I can tell by the eyes and the eyebrows. That's who it is. But it was very nice to meet you. I'm glad that we got this accomplished.